Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Help I Sexted My Boss Says I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Normally, this is the podcast where Jordan and I help you navigate the challenges of modern life. And we will get back to that once Jordan has left the castle. This is the official home for those who wish to get behind Jordan and support him during his time away on primetime television. Now, we've all done so well so far, but we can't give up. Your country needs you, GM Divas. Please, everyone who can vote 5 times on the free I'm a Celebrity app for Jordan, please do it. Don't delay, let him stay. Pop that on a t-shirt. I'm William Hansen, usually an etiquette coach and author. I'm more French cuff, Jordan's more bench scuff. Last night, Russell Watson was strapped to a life-size rotisserie and dunked into dirty, grime-infested water as he failed to talk meaningfully about literature and the arts. It's very much like being in a certain East London bathroom each morning, the bathroom of my co-host and dear friend, producer Ben.
Hi, guys. We're getting into a bit of a theme here where I'm going to have to pick you up on things in the intro. Firstly, today, French cuff. No idea.
Right. You know, on a shirt. Do you wear those in East London?
At school, yeah. I used to wear shirts every day.
When was the last time you were in a shirt?
One that like didn't have a funky design, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Not this year.
Wow. A French cuff is the cuff... You know, if you wear it with cufflinks, that and it sort of folds back on itself.
Mm.
Sometimes called a double cuff, but also called a French cuff.
There we go. And also, my bathroom is extremely clean, so back off, actually.
Well... All things considered.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you very much. I'm fine. Now, we need to mention this. It's a mystery. But it's also a little bit creepy. But you received, and not in a good way, a mystery package.
I did. I received a package in the post which resembled a book. So,
to your home address, we should just point this out. Not the address on the website that you can write your letters into, G and Divas. This is Ben's personal home address. It's only on Craigslist.
Yeah, I got a package that resembled a book, and keen listeners to the podcast will know that I have a passion for Beverly Callard's autobiography, Unbroken.
Mm.
A passion that has lasted for about a week since you mentioned it on the show, but I'm waiting for it to arrive in the post. And I thought, wow, there's a book-shaped package in my life that I really needed. Opened it up. It's not Beverly Callard's book. It's Kenneth Williams' book, who I didn't know. Again, keen listeners to the podcast might remember the Kenneth Williams, but this name, I wouldn't sort of be able to pick it out in a street. But Kenneth Williams is a famous comedian, apparently, and William talked to me about it last week or a couple of weeks ago.
He was a comic actor.
Yeah, something like that. And I've been sent this 800-page book. I mean, I struggled to get through some tweets. How am I going to get through this?
It's his diaries. It's his very acidic diaries.
And I have no idea who it came from. No idea where it came from.
And that is what is weird.
Yeah, mystery.
Because you haven't ordered it. I didn't order it for you. Obviously, Jordan hasn't ordered it for you because he can't. You don't think your family has ordered it for you. None of your friends have ordered it for you. But somehow, after I said that I wanted Kenneth Williams at a dinner party, it's turned up. So the mystery continues.
I believe you've read this book. You said that earlier. When I mentioned it.
Yes, I read it when I was 16.
Why on earth do you need him to come over for a dinner party? There is literally every story he's ever told, surely, in this book. It's 800 pages, literally, of his diary. Here you go. Tuesday, 1st of January, 1985. Coffee in the Morgue Lounge.
You keep reading it, you'll find fun bits.
Can't wait to pick through that one.
I'll check in with you on that in a future episode, hopefully. And Sam, I believe, has asked the question, how many episodes does it take to become an official G&D diva?
Yes.
Now, do we have an entrance policy?
I think we've always been quite loose in that respect.
Mm.
That the definition has never been defined. And I wouldn't be able to put a finger on it.
No wonder it's loose.
If I wanted to choose a number of episodes that someone had to listen to. But I think if you are subscribed, if you've considered giving us a 5-star review and you've maybe sent us a tweet or follow us on Instagram, why not? You can be in G&D Diva. We're very open. A lot of words are coming out of my mouth right now. Don't know where they're coming from.
Have you been drinking this evening?
Yeah. I haven't actually, but I do have a drink, so we'll get on to that now.
Yes, indeed. Well, before we toast, coming up later on the podcast, I'll be chatting to a former Queen of the Jungle and television expert, Scarlett Moffat.
I feel like me and Jordan are very similar, right? Part of you wants to go home because you're missing your friends, your family, real life. But then the other part of you is enjoying the experience, and you know that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it's hard to understand why you're still in there. Like, you just always expect that you're going to be the person that's leaving.
Okay, raise our glasses. Now, I've put down two options here as to who we could possibly toast to. They both begin with B. Who, Ben, I will give you the casting vote. Don't let the power go to your head. Who do you think out of these two? Admittedly, one of them isn't actually a human. Who do you think we should toast to?
Ben or Ben? No, sorry. Bev or Bench? I thought you'd written down my name twice.
No. Good Lord, you really have been drinking.
Bev or Bench? I think Bev. It's got to be Bev.
Bev, we raise our D to you.
To Bev.
I think she'd probably like that, given what we've found out about her. Drinking. You've been doing a lot of it. Why don't you tell the G&D divas who are above the legal age how they can do a bit of drinking themselves?
Yes, well, there are pre-mixed gin and tabonets available at thebottledbartender.co.uk. If you just want to go to sexwithmyboss.com/buythed, that's the quickest way. That's by the D, just the letter D. And there are cocktails there, the gin and tabonets there. And I'm told they're selling very well. So if there is a slight wait in them coming to you, if you have ordered them, they are on their way. I know that because I've been talking to the person who puts them together. But the way to get them for free is to enter our hashtag Get Behind Jordan competition. And all you have to do is comment on the Instagram post I will post this very morning, the morning that you listen to this podcast, or maybe you listen to the afternoon, it will still be there and it's open for 24 hours. All you have to do is tag in a friend in that Instagram post and you are entered into the competition to win 2 bottles of pre-mixed gin and tabonet and 2 bottles of cocktails of your choice from thebottledbartender.co.uk.
Marvellous.
Ba-da-ba!
Thank you. Well done. More royal gossip in the show last night. Obviously, something to do with Shane Ritchie and his hammock, as commented upon by Anton Deck.
Yeah.
I don't think Jordan... Well, yes, of course Jordan's got a royal story. He can talk about how he met Princess Margaret.
Princess Margaret, famously. Of course he does.
Oh, I hope that comes out. There are fewer people now.
Well, he did walk past them. He walked past Shane and Giovanna. So he must not have clocked what the conversation was, because obviously, if he had, then he would have pulled out his own royal story.
Yes.
And also, Giovanna, very open with boasting about getting Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Wales, onto her podcast.
No, stop! She did not get Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Wales, because she died in 1997.
Oh.
She had... You're as bad as Jordan. She had... You've been watching too much of The Crown. She had the Duchess of Cambridge.
Yeah, same thing. The G&D was knew what I meant. There's a lot of words that confuse me with that sort of thing. So she was boasting about that, and I imagined when she was boasting about that this time next year, when you're in the jungle in Australia, you could go up to someone in camp and say,
"No,
well, actually, did you know that last year I did a podcast and I had Kerry Katona on?" And it would have a similar sort of weight to it.
Yes.
And I loved Kerry. I think she was great. We really started this podcast series very well with Wendy and Kerry. But
yes, she was excellent. All our guests have been excellent on this.
Especially that one in the middle. That special one.
Oh, particularly strong, that one. Yes, excellent. I love that Giovanna, she's like, they call her Catherine. Well, yes, I mean, that's her name. She's Catherine. It's not that much of a surprise. You can't call her Catherine, but, you know, the Duke of Cambridge can. Anyway, it moved very quickly from royal chat to what is now known as the Phantom Dribbler, and the person who perhaps is mucking up the privy, as they call it. And the spotlight of investigation has very much, thankfully, shifted away from our Jordan and moved on to Shane.
Public enemy number one.
Shane obviously doesn't like being accused. Who would? But Shane obviously handling it in his own special way. And thankfully, Bev came to the rescue for Jordan and said to everyone else, she thinks that Jordan is too clean for that to happen.
She did. Which you've been shouting about for days. And you haven't been in contact with Bev. So I think some people would have heard you saying that Jordan is actually quite clean and thought, that's a load of old tosh. I'm going to keep using that phrase. But it's true. And I know we've talked about a lot of mystery in this podcast, but I think this is the biggest mystery of them all, isn't it?
Well, this plus the Kenneth Williams book mysteriously turning up, I've got a suggestion for our next series. We could rebrand as a true crime podcast.
Yes!
We could be the next serial. We've got options.
With more a bit more crunchy nut.
Yes. We could do like a weekend strand. We'd obviously do the Tuesday episode, the Friday bonus episode, and then like a bonus episode where we all go a bit Miss Marple.
Okay, no, I'm a bit sick of doing a daily podcast. I think we'll stick to two next series, please.
Fine. The Castle Coin Challenge question that they had to ask to get some goodies from Kiosk Cledwin was, what percentage of the British population say that they flush the lavatory with the lid down? Only 48%, apparently. That was the correct answer, although they did get it wrong, and they didn't win the chocolate eclairs.
Only 48%?
Surely everyone puts the lavatory seat down to flush.
You put the seat down, like the actual like top lid down?
Yes, to flush.
No, what? You have time to do that. I'm a busy man.
Time?
Yeah.
It takes a second. Can I ask, are you soft clothes in East London?
What?
No, you're probably not. Do you have a soft close loo seat?
A soft close? No. What? No, I don't have a soft close loo seat.
So when you flick the loo seat down, does it sort of gradually fade down so it makes no noise? Or when you flick it down, does it go...
It goes bang.
Right. I now see, perhaps, why you're not putting the loo seat down when you flush.
To be honest, I always thought it was a bit pointless, that top loo seat. I was like, well, it's never down. Like, why do you need it?
Oh, my God. Gosh.
What are you talking about?
Anyway, due to the Phantom Dribbler, Vernon had to go in and give Jordan some mopping technique practice. Jordan apparently was going back and forth with a mop, which you can do with certain types of mops, more modern mops that have special attachments. But the conventional sort of floppy shaggy dog type mop, whatever you call that, apparently... As Vernon, a former caretaker, Ben, this is cleaning chat. I know this is not your speciality, but just stick with me. Insisted it's a figure of eight mop.
Holding my eyes open, Gene Devers.
We then also then had a nice little vignette, a little scene before Ruthie left the castle, where she was singing a song from Oliver, "As Long as He Needs Me," as the female character Nancy, and Jordan looked totally bored. I'll be honest, he had the same facial expression as when he sat through bits of Mary Poppins. I've recognised that before. He wasn't even pretending to be interested. To be fair to Jordan, a couple of them also had a similar facial expression. Jordan announced the next trial, and again, the campmates had to decide who was going to do it. This one was called the Rancid Rotisserie. It's a shame Jordan didn't get put up to do this, because being strapped to a board and dunked in a load of gunk for half an hour is Jordan's idea of a good night in. But never mind. And I would like to have seen him do that, because I think he would have been great.
He would have been good value.
He would have been excellent value.
Last night's episode didn't do wonders for sort of the IQ interpretation of the celebrities.
Yes.
Moe, during the Castle Coin Challenge, didn't know what Wales was. And Russell didn't know a single answer, basically, in Rancid Rotisserie.
No, he didn't. The fact that Jordan didn't do the Rancid Rotisserie has given me an idea for our tour.
Okay.
Is it in the budget to recreate that trial?
No, we don't have that budget.
Right. Okay.
But if we did, what you want to see that on stage?
We just do that. I think we could either get a G&D, strap a G&D to it, or Jordan, or you.
I'd do it.
Good.
Anything for attention.
Let's get back in the batter. I've done that for a couple of G&D divas who tweeted me to say, please, could I do that? I can't do it in the Geordie accent, I'm afraid. Little bit more sniping and back chat from Shane and Vernon about, you know, oh, they weren't that happy that Russell only brought back five and they only got two ducks. Admittedly, two very unattractive looking ducks at the start. That would have put me off. But yeah, whatever. You do you, boys.
I do switch off.
The two that got voted out, it was a double elimination. That was the big twist of last night. It was two ladies going, Bev and Victoria.
Two ladies going sounds like a bingo call out. Two ladies going, 77. Yeah, Bev and Victoria. Again, my heart was pelting my inner chest. It was horrible.
I don't know if I can cope with many more nights of... Actually, and it's interesting because, again, having not watched the show before other than Series 1, and even in Series 1, you know, didn't really care about anyone. Sorry, Tony Blackburn, but...
No, it's different.
It's very different when you have got skin in the game, as it were, to use the vernacular.
Quite fancy that game.
And, yeah, it's painful. I mean, it's
horrible.
It must be awful for Jordan and all the other celebrities sitting there. But, yeah.
Oh, don't think about them. It's not about them.
No, true.
No, I was struggling again. I cut myself quite badly earlier.
Oh.
When I was making dinner. Yeah, and I genuinely thought at one point during the sort of the full throes of nerves that I was in during that sort of period of time, that I thought I'd cut myself so badly that maybe there wasn't enough blood in my body when my heart was pumping so hard and I was going to pass out. Genuinely, I was like, this is it.
As Bev and Victoria left and they were all saying goodbyes, Jordan said, we just got it just before they cut away back to Anton Deck. Jordan said, Bev, I'm going to miss you loads.
Oh.
Which was a lovely, tender moment. And then seeing all of their faces, but Jordan's in particular, pressed up against the portcullis, again, like another night Jordan's had before, waving goodbye to everybody was very moving, actually. I was a bit teary. Mikey and I looked at each other on the sofa and we had both gone ever so slightly.
Jordan would do an impression of Mikey here that I can't quite do the justice for, unfortunately, G&D was, but I wish I could.
Something that I did notice, which was odd, when Ruthie and Holly left, they got a glass of water. Why did Bev and Victoria get a glass of champagne?
I have no idea, William. Maybe something to do with they don't drink alcohol, I would assume. It's not some sort of favouritism going on. You get champagne if you want it, surely.
Okay, well, I just wondered. And actually, you know, Victoria and... I like Victoria in this programme. She wasn't one of my favourites. Obviously, Jordan is my favourite. But she did, in that exit interview with Anton Deck, she did say actually Jordan does cop for a lot, which I assume means sort of takes the blame for a lot of things. And actually, you know, Victoria, good on you for identifying that. Because yes, sometimes Jordan does take the blame because he is a very, very easy target. Thank heavens for this podcast. But he, you know, sometimes it isn't always fair. Phantom Dribbler being perhaps one incident. So yeah, I'm glad that at least Victoria recognised that. Would have been nice maybe if you had spoken up a bit more in the camp about that, but maybe she did. Maybe it wasn't broadcast. Who knows? And again, then when they both left the castle along that sort of drawbridge et thing that they have constructed, what I have liked is that it's all been women that have left. Just realised that. All the women that have left, or indeed all the celebrities, we should say, because no men have left yet, have all had the same reaction to the paper confetti. And they've all sort of gone, oh, slight surprise to, Bit naff. And then they walk through it. If you watch their faces, they're all on the same sort of like, oh. And then they sort of go and do their pose for the photographers.
And just a word on Bev, I think, before we sort of move on with the podcast, because we've loved her for a long time. I've got money in the game because I've bought her book. So that will turn up at some point. And she struck up a very lovely relationship with Jordan. So I'm sure he is gutted that she's gone last night. So yeah, thanks to Bev. Thanks to hashtag MegaShag.
Yeah.
And thanks for all the other stories that she shared, because she is absolutely great value.
Thank you to Bev for looking after Jordan. And I know he will miss you.
Mm.
Now, we did say that if the G and Divas left us a 5-star review on iTunes and put a joke in there, we would perhaps read that one out instead of one of Jordan's jokes of the week. And I'm all for change and all for sort of retiring Jordan's feature. So Ben has got one from Emily in Cumbria.
So, William, what do you call a cannibal's wife?
I don't know. What do you call a cannibal's wife?
Henrietta.
Oh, I see. Right. We'll be back after these messages.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is an introduction to the podcast that gets a flavour for your neighbour.
Peering over the fence when things have got tense.
With the most outrageous tales of your next door fails.
The time has come for you to listen to...
Score Next Door. My name's Rich Williams.
And I'm Emma Jones.
Score Next Door is our brand new podcast.
And we think you're going to love it.
Hopefully a bit more than you love your neighbours.
There's a new episode every Wednesday, so search for us wherever you listen to your podcast to find out what all the fuss is about.
And if you do love your neighbours, you might as well listen to the people that hate theirs.
Yeah, why not?
Welcome back, G and Divas. Now, before we talk to Scarlett Moffat, can I just ask something about this Picky Tea thing? For those that maybe haven't heard the last couple of episodes or need a refresher, I have somehow been coerced into having a Picky Tea on Friday night if Jordan gets to the final. So the Picky Tea would happen before that final episode airs.
What a treat.
Yes. You're wanting me to go shopping in a place called Iceland for this food.
I do.
Does that have to be that shop near where you live? Because I feel that's a double smack in the teeth for me.
None taken.
But you know what I mean? It's frozen food, okay? By the time I've schlepped over to your part of the world and then schlepped back to my part of the world, it's going to be a picky drink. It's all going to be liquid.
Okay. Well, I guess it's not... what we're here for. We're here to get you into Iceland, not the country, and get you to...
No, I don't think you're going to get me into Iceland. You're just going to get me to go to Iceland. I'm not going to be into it.
No, I just meant go in. Calm down. Someone's getting defensive. I'm not saying, like,
You're
suddenly going to make it your weekly shop. I'm just saying you're going to go in one time.
Right.
Goodness. All right, we calm.
Yes.
I know it gets a bit nervy when Jordan could be going home, but we're on the podcast now. We've chilled out a bit, okay? Just like Iceland. So, okay, that is a negotiable factor for me. It doesn't have to be in my ends, But it does have to be somewhere, and it does have to be Iceland. So why don't we sort that out off podcast? We'll use maps, we'll use directions, and we'll work out a place in the middle. We'll get there together.
Great.
And you can buy the smiley faces, I'll buy the sausage rolls.
Love it. Can't wait. It's going to be the highlight. When Jordan is back in the real world, he will be stunned to know that he has captured the nation's hearts, but equally stunned that we have one of the biggest stars from his second favourite TV show, Gogglebox. Joining me now, former Queen of the Jungle, Scarlett Moffat. Hello, Scarlett.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, you know.
Now, obviously, you are a former Queen of the Jungle. We are into the final few days of this year's series. What is it like being in the camp at this point?
I feel like me and Jordan are very similar, right? Mm. And I know exactly how he's going to be feeling. I think he'll be thinking, like, feeling very overwhelmed, because it's such a weird feeling being in the jungle, because part of you wants to go home because you're missing your friends, your family, real life. But then the other part of you is enjoying the experience, and you know that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it's hard to understand why you're still in there. Like, you just always expect that you're going to be the person that's leaving. So when you don't, it's like, it is always like a massive shock. And I feel like whenever I'm watching Jordan's face, he does very similar reactions to me. I don't think he can quite believe it. But honestly, I have been rooting for him from the start.
He is doing incredibly well.
Yeah, he really is.
Did you like him from the start, from the seminal moment of throwing up on top of that cliff?
I'm going to be honest, that wasn't his finest moment. And as soon as he vomed, I was like, he's won. I was like, as soon as he let out that little vomit, because it just showed that he was vulnerable and really real. I would have vomed as well. Like, anything to do with heights. Like, I maybe would have swallowed it, actually. Is that disgusting? I maybe would have thought, millions of viewers, I'll just swallow me sick.
Nice. What did you have to do to get into the camp?
So I had to swim in like a really freezing cold lake thing and ride a canoe?
Yeah, paddle.
Paddle a canoe. And like me and it was like me in one canoe and Larry Lamb in the other. But I could often see Larry's canoe, but I couldn't see him. He was like Bear Grylls. I've never seen a man canoe so fast in my life. And then we had to like pull this flag out, and then the boat started leaking. And I ended up with two leeches on my bum and all of the salt and pepper that I tried to, like, you know, really, it was against the rules. I put loads of sachets of, like, salt and pepper in my bra, and it just got drenched. It was ruined.
Oh, soggy salt.
Yeah, no one wants soggy salt.
You can use it as a nice exfoliator, though.
Yeah, nice. Oh, yeah, I could have, actually, yeah.
Yeah. You had a relationship with Larry, like Jordan has with Bev, a very sort of paternal, maternal relationship in Jordan's instance.
Yeah, I think I'm a proper home bird and Jordan's the same, and I'm always the person that needs sort of an authoritative figure. Otherwise, I'll just run wild. I would have been feral within 6 days in the jungle if Larry hadn't been there. But it was nice to sort of get a cuddle and know that you're safe, and it just taught us so many things, and it's nice. I like those like relationships when that's part of what I love about the charm of I'm a Celebrity, like the unlikely relationships that form. Like, who would have thought Jordan and Bev would have been like besties?
Exactly. It's lovely to watch. And do you think, is there a particularly hard moment that's coming up in the final few days that Jordan's going to have to mentally or physically get past, as much as we know about this series?
I think actually the hardest part is the middle part, because it just feels like you've been there for like years. Like, you honestly do start forgetting about civilization. You start wondering, am I ever going to know how to turn a light switch on again? Am I going to forget how to flush a chain? Like, really basic stuff. But the closer you get to the end, you really want to stay. Like, I'm not just talking about myself. You really want to stay because you think, I've got this far. And then you get to do the cyclone, which is like the greatest ever trial invented.
Do they all do that?
It's normally the last four.
Right.
Get to do the cyclone, and it is just absolutely epic. Like, it's, I can't even explain how amazing it is. But and the last trial is always the worst, where you're trying to win. Like, it's just always your worst nightmare, which I can't even imagine what they're going to choose for Jordan, because he is sort of scared of everything.
He is. Yeah, they might just show him his reflection. Now, talking of trials, Jordan did a lot of them at the start, but he's had a lot of time off now from those trials. Does it get boring without a trial to do?
I wouldn't say boring, because you don't particularly want to do them, but at least it breaks your day up, because that is actually the hardest part. I think everyone would assume that the trials and the challenges are the hardest part of, like, sort of I'm a Celeb life, but it is just the sheer boredom, like not having anything to do. And even if you've got really interesting people in there, which they have, you can only hear your people's stories for so long before you start just switching off.
Well, I think that's the good thing with Jordan, because Jordan, as all our listeners know, he has got a story for everything. In fact, he's got three stories for everything. So I don't think, you know, there's always a different story with Jordan. Now, I will be honest, Scarlett, other than series one of I'm a Celebrity, I haven't ever really watched the show.
What are you doing with your life?
No, I know.
What do you do for the run-up for Christmas? How do you know it's even December?
Well, those Christmas cards don't write themselves. You've got to do something. And let me tell you, they haven't been written this year yet. Predominantly why I didn't watch it is because there were rats on it, and I was absolutely petrified of rats until I had hypnotherapy just so I could watch Jordan. But that's another story. You look aghast.
Yeah, do you know why? Because I've got a chihuahua. You might be able to see the photo.
Like, yes, I was admiring it.
Everyone says my chihuahua looks like a rat. And that is literally how I cope with some of the trials with rats in, because I just imagined it was my dog.
Right, oh, okay. Yeah, well, I think I probably prefer your dog.
Yeah, she is quite ratty though.
Well, it's fine. I can look at them now. I've had hypnotherapy. I'm absolutely fine.
This is amazing.
Stick one on my head. I love them. Preferably not, though. However, what do I need to know as a sort of a first-time viewer about these final few days that we're going to have in the camp?
It's just going to be epic. I feel like these are always the most exciting episodes to watch, because it's normally full of tears, whether that's people really missing their families or missing the campmates that are leaving because everyone gets a bond. I sound cruel saying that I want to watch people cry, don't I? But you know what I mean. You feel like you're going on a roller coaster with people, and there's just lots of happiness and just excitement, especially around the cyclone. I can't explain how amazing the cyclone is.
I'm excited for that. I've never seen the cyclone.
And then this is the build-up. Like, you're finding out who was literally going to be like king or queen, hopefully in this case king, of the castle.
So tell me more about the cyclone. Just explain it to me, because you'd sort of have to run at a fan.
Right, imagine a massive Dyson fan. Like, I'm talking like huge, sort of like massive, like absolutely huge fan with loads of fairy up liquid on the floor. Like, yep. Just loads of washing up liquid on the floor, massive fan, people hoying balls at you, exercise balls, footballs.
Sounds like a night out in Soho.
Squirting all sorts of liquids at you.
It does.
It really is Soho. And you've just got to carry these massive stars and then keep it on the star on the floor until the klaxon goes off.
All in the name of light entertainment.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Right, well, I can't wait to watch. Hopefully Jordan's going to be part of that, because that's going to be hilarious. We've obviously got to the stage in the competition where people leave. How did you deal with campmates leaving? Was there any sort of mental preparation? Is it a bit like, you know, vets sort of try not to get too emotionally attached to the animals that they're inevitably going to have to get rid of at some point? Do you go in with that sort of mentality?
It's like when you make mates or a holiday romance on holiday, and there's always that part of you where you're like, no, it's fine, because when we get back home, we're going to see each other again. But then there's part of your brain that's like, this is the last time I'm ever going to see these people, because they just live on opposite sides of the country. They're really busy. So I think that's what the feeling is. Like, you do just feel really sad, because even though you want to think, I'm going to see these people all the time, you know deep down that, like, you might see them once in a blue moon, because it's really just everyone's schedule and stuff. So I used to just go in the dunny and just have a little cry.
Oh, bless you.
I know.
Oh, okay.
That really, isn't it?
Maybe that's what all the water is on the floor of the privy this series. It's just tears from the campmates. That's all it is. Now, you've got a new show, Love Bites. New episodes every Monday, I believe.
Yeah, every Monday on ITV2 at 6 p.m. And I'm sort of like a cross between Greg Wallace and Cilla Black.
It's a good mix.
and you sort of get to learn lots about food. Like, I actually surprised myself of how much I learned about food. And it's nice to see young people cooking, because you don't often see, like, young people cooking on the TV. And we just have a laugh, and then someone gets a date at the end of it.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice bit of light entertainment.
That's lovely. And have you, do you cook? Have you learnt anything from doing the show?
I mean, I haven't put it into practice, but I've learned some bits and bobs.
Good. Well, Jordan, now, do you know what the concept of a picky tea is?
A picky tea?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's like a proper northern thing.
Right, yeah, quite. Well, Jordan introduced it to me. I just call it a buffet, but Jordan calls it a picky tea.
No, there's a difference between a buffet.
Oh, don't you start.
There's a complete difference.
Right, well, what is it? Jordan's trying to explain it to me.
So a picky tea is like everything has to be beige.
Yeah.
So it has to be things like sausage rolls, garlic bread, breadsticks, crackers, cheese, like anything that's beige looking, you can have on a picky tea. And then it's a bit like northern tapas. That's how I'd describe it. But then a buffet, that's where you get your vol au vents, your quiche Lorraines. You start going in.
They're all still beige.
Yes, but the too fancy for a picky tea. No one goes out and goes, oh, I think I might have a little quiche Lorraine tonight. That's only at parties.
I mean, I do.
Far too fancy.
Love a quiche Lorraine. Right, okay. Well, do you think a picky tea would work on Love Bites?
Yeah, I think it would, actually. Mm. I think as long as they up the game, like, they would maybe have to have sausage rolls with a twist.
What's the twist? They got vegetables with them?
Well, I suppose it's sort of Christmas, so they could have, like, a sausage roll pig in blankets, so they could wrap the sausage meat in bacon, then put the pastry on the top.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so they'd have to up the game a little bit, because they're trying to get a date after all.
I'm being forced to try and have a picky tea. If Jordan gets to the final on Friday, I'm being forced by producer Ben to do a picky tea. What are the three things that I absolutely should have as part of my first picky tea?
100%, you need to have some sort of either garlic bread or pizza. No vegetables on the pizza. You can only have beige foods.
Well, tomato isn't beige.
No, you can't have tomato on it then.
Well, it's not a pizza.
You can have tomato base, but it has to be covered by the cheese so it looks beige on the outside.
Right, okay.
Then you need scotch eggs.
Yes, I'm aware of them.
Yeah, and sausage roll. You have to have, oh, I don't actually, sausage roll or a bit of corned beef pie.
No, not corned beef pie, please.
Well, corned beef sandwiches then.
No, I just don't like corned beef.
Do you know, what about a Spam sandwich?
Oh, please, you make me feel nauseous.
What, with the Spam?
I'm going to have to swallow my own sick like you were talking about earlier.
Oh, I love a Spam sandwich.
Right, well, to each their own. Right, OK, well, thank you for your tips on picky teas. Less than a week to go now, only a few days. Who is your prediction for King or Queen of the Jungle?
It really is Jordan.
Good.
I'm not just saying it genuinely. I just think he's been a joy to watch, and I feel like I really, really know him. Like, I feel like we've really seen who he is as a person, and it's a person I would like to know. I'd go on a night out with him and have a picky tea after.
You're welcome. When you won, I believe you get some sort of crown or headpiece.
Yes, you do.
First question, what is that made from?
So mine was made from real plants and flowers, and I managed to get it through Border Control at Australia, and I've got it pressed.
You are actually allowed to keep it?
Oh, yeah. It's like for keeps. They don't take it. It's not pretend, and then they take it back off you.
They don't stick it in the Tower of London like they do with the Queen.
No, you get to really keep it.
She doesn't take the Imperial State Crown home after the State Opening of Parliament and get that pressed. Okay, so that's interesting. So I suppose if you've got it pressed, you can't put it back on. It's just sort of in a nice frame.
No, yeah, it's in a nice frame. Otherwise, it would have just died.
That's the point. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been dead.
I wonder what they're going to do with a Welsh crown.
I think they're going to make it fancy, like royalty. I think it's going to be like gold plated or at least metal.
Or just intertwined daffodils. Potentially. It's not daffodil season, but I'm sure they can get them somewhere. Okay, absolutely final question. Can you share a good luck message for our Jordan? He can't hear us, but let's pretend he can.
I mean, he might be able to. He's not that far away.
Just raise it a decibel.
Just good luck, Jordan, and keep doing what you're doing, because apart from the little mini vom, which we forgive you for, you are smashing it.
I agree. He is smashing it. Scarlett, thank you very, very much indeed. Your picky tea advice will be crucial for my adventure to Reykjavik later this week. On the podcast tomorrow, I'll be joined by Burnley centre forward Jay Rodriguez. Yes, the striker is known for his tenacity, goal-scoring prowess and speed. His pressing of defenders is truly a sight to behold. I behold it often. Growing up in Burnley, he joined his boyhood club in 2007, left in 2012, before returning to his happy place, Turf Moor, last year. And tomorrow, he'll be joining me and producer Ben, probably more producer Ben, to talk about Burnley and our Burnley boy in the castle. If you want to continue to show your support, the best thing you can do, if you're able, is to vote for Jordan using the ITV app or however you wish to cast your votes. You can use the hashtag GetBehindJordan, send it to @SextedMyBoss. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We are also on Facebook as well. And remember, from now until Jordan's final day in the castle, we are relying on you, GM Divas. In the words of Vernon Kay's wife, sort of, keep voting.
Bye, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.